Now, I never do this, so I'm going to do radio announcement. Welcome to our Monday night conference call. My name is Wynn Free, and this is a simulcast between a conference line and radio. And every one of those bongs you hear is somebody checking into our conference call. Anybody on the call like to say their name and their city?
Hi, Wynn. It's Beth from El Segundo.
Hi, Beth.
Hey.
And who else is on the line?
Temperance in Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts. Hey, Temperance.
Hi.
Can you give us a giggle? Temperance has the best giggle. There we go. I knew she would do it. Right?
You make me giggle.
There we go. Who else is on the line? Like to say their name and the city. And you don't have to. You can just...
Lori.
Who is that?
Lori from Canada.
Hi, Lori.
Hello.
Nice to have you. Anyone else on the line?
Evelyn from California.
Who from California?
Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Yes, Evelyn. I'm back.
Are you back in Whittier?
Yes, I am.
Right. Okay, and who else is on the line?
Julian, Federal Way, Washington.
Hi, Julian.
Is this on webcam?
Is it on webcam?
Yeah.
It's on an invisible webcam. No, it's not on webcam. It's on a webcast, yes, it is on a webcast. Now, if we had the budget, we'd have a cameraman meet Terry at McDonald's parking lot after work, and me in Sedona, and we could have a... But we don't have that budget yet, so... Okay, we are on BBS Radio, and people are listening to us. We have a really, really interesting topic I'm going to share tonight. Somebody else just came in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Well, I've been here for a bit. I'm Donna in North Carolina. Hello.
Hi, Donna.
Hello.
Nice to hear your friendly voice. And who else just came in, if they'd like to say their name? You know, when you say your name, I don't know if you guys get this, but it helps put your frequency into the mix. Like, because we're creating a group energy, saying your name, like putting your energy a little stronger into the group. Now, you don't need to do that to be part of the energy. It helps. It helps from your standpoint. Feeling your presence. But when people check in for the first time, it's not that they're necessarily shy. They want to know what's going on. They want to know if they want to say their name and or not. So anyone else want to say their name? Okay. Good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, it's
that? Hi, it's Susan in Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Susan. Hi. Now, you people that are listening on BBS will sometimes hear funny sounds, like right now you're going to hear.
Callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
Just muted everybody. And right now you're going to hear another one.
Please enter your subscriber PIN followed by the pound sign. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
And everybody heard that all over listening on the internet. So we start this call with a little group energy invocation meditation. And wherever you are, if you're listening, I invite you to find a quiet spot, turn off the TV if it's on, shut the door if anyone's going to disturb you, because we're going to create a group energy, and some of you, many of you will feel it, and some of you won't. And one of the things that makes the difference between whether people can feel it or not has to do with, are you in your mind? Are you thinking about it? Are you being skeptical? Are you saying this can't be true? And if you happen to be in that place, I don't expect you to do a reversal and believe that it's true. I would just ask, just go neutral. Get as neutral as you can and get out of your mind and stop thinking about it, because being in your mind blocks the energy. And be open to the possibilities. And if you're not sure you can trust it, then listen and take it in and see how it resonates and come back next week and be more open. Okay, so what we do to create a group energy, and this takes advantage of the fact that all of us, everyone, every human, is multidimensional, which means that they exist as an energy as well as a physical body, as a soul, if you want to call it that, or a spirit. They exist in an invisible place where they can't perceive that directly. Some of us perceive it indirectly, but that part of you that exists in that invisible place is as real or perhaps more real than the part of you that's a physical body. And when we create a group energy, we start to experience in our physical level what it feels like to connect our energy bodies. And then we can feel when other energies in those same realms, which we call group souls, can join with us and increase the voltage, so to speak, and increase the amperage. So I'd like to ask you all to shut your eyes and intention moves energy. So we're going to create an intention that all of us on this line can touch each other's energies. You can call that blending. You can call that communion. You can call it oneness. But we're going to move our energy matrix to the experience where, during this call, we can be one. And in that state of oneness, we're going to invite those sources who we've been communicating with. And I say we, it's been me, but you guys too. You've been on this call. You ask questions. They notice you. We're going to ask them to come into our energy field, into the matrix we're creating. When you shut your eyes, some of you can feel that. Some of you will see light around the top of your head. Feel an energy moving up off of your crown chakra. And we'll do a quick healing where we move that energy from the top of our head. I'm going to mute the disconnect here.
Entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are off.
We're going to move that energy from the top of our head down through our head, through our chest, and anywhere there's blockages, negativity, disease, we're going to let this energy move through it and to the best of its ability, let it release, kind of dissolve and be surrounded. So it's particularly in your heart area, all those areas of resentment, pain, rejection. Let them go. Let this energy flow around them and let it go. Now into your solar plexus. Into your legs. And into the center of the earth. So if we were going to see this energy, if we could see it, we would see this light streaming from the center of our galaxy, through the galaxy, through the solar system, through the energy fields of the earth, through our bodies, and into the earth. And we might get the idea that we are that field. And we are not our bodies. And when we die, the way that we have formed ourselves in that field continues and comes back for another lifetime in the process we call reincarnation. Okay. Now, Temperance has asked me, Lynn, why don't you call in the light? And I have this little invocation to the light, and I haven't done it because I feel when I'm doing what we just did, that's actually a real-time, in-the-moment, spontaneous calling in of the light. But I'll do it for Temperance, and it goes, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunabku through our bodies and into the crystalline core, the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke that a connection amongst all of our energies, and we invite those two group souls that we've called the Elohim and Ra group, operating in the Christ as light, in the law of one, to join with our energies, create a group energy during the course of this call. And that's the official invocation. And what we did before that was a unofficial doing the same thing. Because it's not about a ritual. It's about the intention of doing it. I announced in my broadcast to our spirit channel list that we were going to talk about St. Catherine today. And some of the things we do, that I do, that this group does, are fairly out there. And it would be quite natural to ask, how is it that you knew that would happen? How is it that you validated this for yourself? And there are many, many ways that this has occurred for me. This call we're doing today is a product of going to the Celestial University for about 4 or 5 years, learning how these energies work. Learning how this idea works and testing it to see, hey, we can actually do this. People can feel it. It's working. And there were a number of things that convinced me to keep going on, keep investigating, keep experimenting on a path that was certainly not the easiest one to take in my own life. But the indications were that it was rather important and that I had a unique ability to be able to do this, which I actually questioned for quite some time, saying, why me? But in any case, in one of the instances, I learned about a past life of mine, and when I learned about it, they didn't just tell me, you were this person. There were almost sometimes what I call footprints, cosmic footprints through history. And I was investigating all those footprints. And by the time I came to the end of the trail, I said there was no other conclusion than I had to be that person. And if you would like to know about this, I have a series. I did a workshop. It was a 4-hour workshop, and it's called The Egyptian Connection. And if you go to messageaday.net, and there's a link you can click on, and you can purchase that workshop fairly inexpensively and hear the story. Well, it turns out that I had played a fairly famous role in Egypt. And I then, in a conversation with these sources, asked, was Terry anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And I had never heard of St. Catherine of Siena, but I immediately Googled St. Catherine, and I discovered that Terry happened to be a very close resemblance to St. Catherine. And if you happen to be on the Spirit Channel list, I think I'll send out a picture of that tomorrow. You can also, if you've read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, you'll see that picture. And I had learned from doing the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce that people tend to look like their past lives. We carry the DNA forward over and over again. And yes, there is modification because your DNA is changed by the energy fields of the people you're around. So you may have a shift over many lifetimes where you don't look quite the same. But it's been my experience that certainly over hundreds of years, people look very similar to their past lives. And so I then did a search on St. Catherine, and I'm going to talk about this, and then when Terry comes on and we'll do our channeling, we're going to ask some questions about the nature of the connection between St. Catherine and Terry. But even more than that connection, we're going to ask about the nature of how the higher sources involve themselves in their attempts at contributing and evolving to humankind, because I think St. Catherine was one representation, probably many times, where there's been an interaction between realms. And so it's fascinating to learn, because we here on this line seem to be in the middle of that kind of interaction between realms. And it's very special, but it's also not an isolated case. There's been cases in history, and I believe St. Catherine was one of them. So I have a little booklet on St. Catherine that is actually, where was it printed? It was printed by think it's French. Additions, the sign, Strasbourg. I wonder where that is. They don't give the country. And it's one they give out in Catholic institutions or sell in the story of St. Catherine. So it does tell the story. So I thought I'd read a bit about St. Catherine just to get into the mood. Catherine Benincasa, who was widely and popularly known as Catherine of Siena, was a remarkable woman. She stands out not only in our own historical period, but also in succeeding centuries as a colorful, strong, passionate, and enthusiastic personality. She was a woman who had a tremendous zest for life and would put all of herself into whatever she was convinced about. The truth she was most convinced about was God's overwhelming, staggering love for humanity, manifested in Jesus. As a result of living in and out of this truth, she became a great mystic, madly in love with the God who loved her, and at the same time, an important historical figure who worked indefatigably, just without getting tired, for the renewal of the church and of the world in which she lived. One of her biographers describes her as someone who was always at full stretch, whether she was responding wholeheartedly to her loving God or reaching out compassionately to a needy neighbor. The date generally accepted for Catherine's birth is March 25th, 1347. She was born in Siena to Lapa di Puccicchio Pigienti and her husband Jacopo Benincasa, a clothes dyer. She was the 23rd of her parents' 25 children. Although not all of these children lived into adolescence, enough of them did to make the Benincasa home a happy, bustling, noisy place. Being a lively and spontaneously loving child, Catherine fitted well into the family atmosphere, which was intensified as her brothers married and brought their wives home and began to have children of their own. Speaking of her little nieces and nephews, Catherine confided once to a friend, "If decency allowed, I would never stop kissing them." I have to say, Terry did not know I was going to do this today. She'd probably say, "Oh, my God." The house in which Catherine lived with her family for most of her life still stands in Vicola del Torotot, and is now a place of pilgrimage for the numerous visitors to Siena. Although it has been converted into a sanctuary, it is still possible to recognize the large kitchen where the family meals were prepared, the bedroom, the father's workshop, the cellar, into which Catherine would slip to snatch a few moments on her own or to find some wine to give to the poor, and the staircase used by all the family to get from one level of the house to the other. Of particular interest is the tiny room with its stone floor and small window where Catherine lived in solitude and prayer for 3 years of her life. At a young age, Catherine decided she wanted to give her life completely to God. Her desire to belong to God expressed itself first in taking a vow of virginity and later in her joining the Mantellet, a group of lay Dominican women who lived in their own homes and dedicated their lives to prayer and charitable activity. She was about 16 or 17 when she joined this group. As most of them were much older than she, they were rather suspicious of her ability to live as they did, and tried to put her off when she asked to become a member. But her conviction that God was calling her was so compelling that they finally gave in. Her first 3 years were spent by Catherine in a secluded life of prayer at home. She went out only to participate in liturgical celebrations at the nearby Dominican church. After this time of withdrawal, Catherine once again plunged into the active service of her neighbor and became a familiar sight on the streets of her native city. Many stories are recounted of her sensitive concern for the poor and her attentive care of the sick in Siena. One can still visit okay, I'm getting emotional reading this. One can still visit the hospital in the city where she nursed the dying at the risk of her own life when a fatal plague hit the city. It was during this period of activity in her life that disciples began to gather around her. Although she was an uneducated woman, the magnetism of her personality and the authenticity of her holiness so attracted others that they longed to be in her company and to learn from her how to be true followers of Christ. They called themselves her family, praying with her, traveling around Italy and even into France with her, and sharing her vision and our hopes for the church and world of the day. When she was about 25, Catherine's life changed considerably. At first, against her inclination, but then willingly, when she realized it was God's will, she found herself drawn into the political life of the day. She was often requested to act as a peacemaker and ambassador between different Italian states that were at war with one another. It was an intensely active period in Catherine's life, a reality she herself underlined by signing one of her letters, appropriately, Catherine Martha. Yet in the midst of all these hectic businesses, she remained deeply contemplative. She was greatly helped by this by going away from time to time to one or other tranquil spots in the vicinity of Siena, where she could pray uninterruptedly. Look here where it talks about her dialogues, because one of the things, now this is Lynn talking, one of the things that would happen is she would be around all these other nuns, and when she would talk, they would write down what she said, because they had the idea that it was God speaking through her. And her dialogues with God are actually part of official Catholic history. And in our book, Questions and Answers with the Council of Elohim, I actually have an excerpt from one of St. Catherine's dialogues. And keep in mind that we are not, this group here is not a religious institution. This is a spiritual meeting. And when we talk about Jesus, it's not meant in the traditional religious sense. And I have my take on this, and that is that Jesus was a man just like you, just like me, who was able to connect with these higher forces, and he was a rather good, maybe expert, at bringing them through for the time he was in. And he was able to uplift the vibration and connect people up, and perhaps better than anyone had ever done up to that time, and maybe better than anyone who's ever done it since that time. Although he said, these things I do, you can do too, and much more. So it's my take on this, and we'll ask some questions about it. The higher forces, the groups we talk about, used the life of Jesus as an icon to be a bridge to connect with people. So when I read a little bit of this dialogue with St. Catherine, it is very much in the time where, in order for that message to come through, the Jesus, how can I say it, the Jesus icon, the Jesus focus was very important because it was within the context of a convent. So we'll ask some questions about that. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm just going to read a little bit so you get the flavor of it. And then, Terry, are you on the line? I want to make sure she's here before I turn it over. Hello, Terry. You have to unmute. *6.
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Alone. Stay on the mute from the top of your phone, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to read just a couple paragraphs so you can hear how channeling sounded in 1300 Siena, Italy, in a monastery through a Catholic nun who, the indications are, might have been a terrorist. I would have you know that every good, whether perfect or imperfect, is acquired and made manifest in me. And it is acquired and made manifest by means of your neighbor. Some know this, for they often love others with a spiritual love. If you have received my love sincerely, without self-interest, you will drink your neighbor's love sincerely. It is just like a vessel that you fill at the fountain. If you take it out of the fountain to drink, the vessel is soon empty. But if you hold your vessel in the fountain while you drink, it will not get empty. Indeed, it will always be full. So the love of your neighbor, whether spiritual or temporal, is meant to be drunk in me, without any self-interest. I ask you to love me with the same love with which I love you. But for me, you cannot do this, for I love you without being loved. Whatever love you have for me, you owe me. So you love me not gratuitously, but out of duty. Well, I love you not out of duty, but gratuitously. So you could not give me the kind of love I ask of you. That is why I have you put among your neighbors, so that you can do for them what you cannot do for me. That is, love them without any concern for thanks, and without looking any profit for yourself. And whatever you do for them, I will consider done for me. So your love should be sincere. You should love your neighbors with the same love with which you love me. Do you know how you can tell when your spiritual love is not perfect? If you are distressed when it seems that those you love are not returning your love, are not loving you as much as you think you love them, or if you are distressed when it seems to you that you are being deprived of their company or comfort, or that they love someone else more than you, from these and from many other things, you should be able to tell if your love for me and for your neighbors is still imperfect, and that you have been drinking from your vessel outside of the fountain, even though your love was drawn from me. But it was because of your love for me, it is because your love for me is imperfect that you show it so imperfectly to those you love with a spiritual love. Terry, you want to unmute yourself?
Yes.
Do you have any comments from Terry about all of this?
Yeah. It's something that I continue to hold up as a standard to express love and to not ask for it in return. And that's one of the things that I experience from the higher forces, is that they don't, they're totally loving and totally there, and they don't ask that you love them back. They love you anyway. And you can, one can be in a bad mood, like I was earlier today. That's with a terrible day at work. And they aren't affected by it. They just love you just the same as always. And so it's one of the ideals or standards that I hold up for myself that is sort of hard to live up to. I made it one of my projects this life to cut any corners off of my jagged aura where there's any jealousy or seeing that somebody else is loved more than me. So it's like an ideal that's very hard to achieve. Those are my comments.
Hey, when we first came up with that, you know, when they first answered that question and said, look up St. Catherine, how did you react? Did you think it was true at first? Or what brought you to the fact that you said, I think this might be true?
The thing that brought me to the fact that it might be true was that I remember the cobblestones on the street on the way to the church of the time. I remember I have pictures of the little window, and also there's a picture of St. Catherine in books, whereas she was surrounded by, you might even call them demons. And she kept saying that she was surrounded by demons. And that's one of my projects, has been one of my projects in this life, is to dismiss any demons that are trailing behind me. And it's like to get back to the being that I was when I entered the third density, which was a being similar to the beings that we talked to, like the Ra and the Elohim beings, that are just able to love. Just, it's just part of their nature, and they don't have any withdrawal from that. I mean, it's just there, like an open, natural love being or aura or energy. And so there was also that I always used to dream that I could walk, like I'd go to sleep and I'd just leave my body and be walking around and on the air or flying up into the sky. But then when I would go downstairs, I would always dream I could do this. Like Catherine of Siena, when she was little, would be carried downstairs by the angels. And I always felt like there was this huge angel around me with huge wings and everything like that would practically float me. And I would go downstairs, like as Catherine of Siena, and be carried by the angels. And but, you know, my mother in that life got really upset. She thought that I was just going to fall down the stairs. And but to me, it was just a moment of beauty to be able, an accomplishment, to be able to go down the stairs without touching any of them. But so when I read that about Catherine of Siena, that made total sense. And just my tendency towards bringing peace between people, it's gotten me in trouble in some lifetimes because, like in the French Revolution, I was trying to bring peace between the king and the people that were performing the revolution, and I was very sympathetic to the people that were being arrested and were being guillotined. And because of my connection with both sides, I ended up getting guillotined too, but it was like just total trying to bring peace between the two sides.
You know, I would like to mention that because someone had an exalted life as a saint doesn't mean all the rest of their lifetimes work out like strawberry shortcake. I know that Terry remembers her past lifetime, or one of her more recent ones, where she had this... Shall I share that, Terry? Is it okay?
Sure, that's okay.
Because it's like, it doesn't mean all their karma is cleaned up, or maybe it was and they chose to keep coming back, and when you come back, it's always a blank slate and you end up in things. So there's this one lifetime where she was married to a nobleman who then had a mistress on the side, and she ended up getting killed by the mistress and by knife, and that's been an incident in this lifetime, which has really been overshadowed for many years, her highest manifestation. Did I say that correctly?
Well, he wasn't a nobleman. he was a blue-collar factory worker who eventually owned a factory, and he got drawn into the mafia to... He was manufacturing air conditioners, and he got in Europe, and he got brought in to bring them to New York City, which was very hot and in the summer, and the mafia thought it would be a good import, and so they sent over some daughter of some Don, and she went for him, and it ended up with me getting killed and him running off with this Don's daughter and taking all of my wealth with them because I was quite wealthy. So it was really... Then I spent years, a few years anyway, walking around as a ghost, saying hello to people who never answered, trying to hold a door closed if they would try to come in the house where I used to live. And it's like, it was an experience that has taught me a little bit about how to operate on the other side. But it was hard to figure out how to erase it from my reaction bank. Like, you know, I'd go for hours to my room and not talk to people or expect them to have communication with me. But, I mean, it's a relearning again.
Well, you know what? I think we will let them make a comment, but this is such an interesting topic that I'm going to continue it next Monday, and we're going to emphasize next Monday, not so much me telling the story, but having a conversation with our sources and asking them questions about how they interact with someone like St. Catherine, how they make the connection, why people are chosen or available for that kind of connection. But we have about 4 minutes left.
We could answer some of it now.
So let's just take a moment, bring their energy in, and let them introduce themselves and make any comments that they want about this stories we're telling. Okay? So we bring the energy, we create a group energy, we bring in the energies of our group souls, our sources, and I'll turn it over to them.
Greet you in the love light, the one infinite creator. This is Ra'on, and we are joyous in communicating with you today. We are open for communication to anybody, anyone who has the vibrations and the awareness to be able to perceive that we are there and the ability to move into our frequency as a radio receiver to receive our communication. We can receive their communication, but many times people are not aware that we are there and we are communicating, and it is such a high frequency that it doesn't translate down. They're looking generally into a lower frequency of the earth frequencies, the frequencies of earth, the color of brown, the frequency of the color brown, and blue is a higher frequency as we move up into the sky, but even higher, 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 way beyond the visible range, way beyond the audio range. Very, very high is where we are, and we can really come in strongly. However, just like a twanging of a guitar string, you being the guitar string, we can give you a little bit of a resonance, and we can send love light down through your being. We often approach at the crown chakra, which is around the top of the head, and you may feel a pressure there or a pressure to the side of the head as we impinge. And we only do this if we are invited, because we are a free will complex of beings that invite you to join the complex, but only within your own free will.
Do you have any comment? We only have about a minute left. Do you have any comment about the connection? Was that who was connecting with St. Catherine? Which part of the celestial realms?
There was a part of the Ra group that was connecting with St. Catherine. She prayed and prayed for a connection, as Terry did in this lifetime, when Terry was little in this lifetime, she would pray day after day for a connection with St. Catherine when she was very little, was 3 and 4 years old. She was just straight away connected with the angels and then with the angels with a higher form from heaven realm and then with the La realm, who acts as some intermediary and can go back and forth between the heaven realm and the earth realm, and within its own energy group has councils, which then they help that are needed within the earth plane of help within souls who are ready to progress to other levels or other planets, as an organization realm in the unseen realms.
Thank you. Would you be willing to answer some more questions about St. Catherine next week?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to sign off now because I'm 1 minute over. I hope we're still on DBS radio. Those of you that are listening on DBS that are not part of Message a Day, we invite you, if you'd like to get messages from higher realms every day in your inbox, messageaday.net, messageaday.net. And we send you all blessings, and I thank everyone that's on the conference line for giving... Hang on a second. I'll unmute everybody.
Callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
I thank everybody on the conference line who are now unmuted for supporting the energy of this. And God bless you, and we'll see you all. We do on Wednesday night our question and answer session, so you're welcome to tune in. We'll see you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed and Terry.
Bless you all. There are 9 callers on the call. Press 1 to recording has stopped.